Hello everybody, this is Dr. Nadine and you are on the Animal Channel. We are in May of 2022. Can you believe it? May. And wherever you are in the world, I am so excited that you are part of this wave of awareness and communication with the animal kingdom. As you've been watching, there is so much happening astrologically in the sky with the moon, with the waves of light, with the animals. And they're becoming even clearer with their communications. So part of what we do here on the Animal Channel is to provide a clear avenue for the animals to communicate with us. Yeah, I'm just going to take a breath there and just be with that. There has been so many watching the animal kingdom. Like right now I'm watching a group of drakes defend their territory. It's mating season right now, and butterflies are hatching and squirrels are playing. But whatever wild animal you happen to be around, or whatever domesticated animal you have to be around, really, I encourage everyone to just find quiet time every day to be quiet with those that are in your presence. I was out working with a whole bunch of horses the other day, but one in particular that the owner had chosen to assist this beautiful being to transition. And this one was clear. It was going to be a transition, not an ascension, so just a direct path over the Rainbow Bridge. So while the animal themselves, the being themselves, were so relieved, if you will, that their owner was being generous and taking this step, they also knew that they consciously wanted assistance in crossing the bridge. And that's the part where I'm watching the refinement happening is, yes, many times each of us have to make a decision with an animal, but the animals are asking to not do it alone. They're asking for guidance across that bridge. They're just asking. They're asking for more. So it's really interesting that our topic today is really about which side is safe. And when this topic really came up first, it was and will be about boundary lines, if you will, like having the inside of your yard safe, inside of your property safe, making it so that the other side it will have a safe passage back to the safe side. But that was really the intention of this topic of, for today, which side is safe. But looking at also with this transition of this beautiful being the other day, there's more going on. And if you watch globally, there are groupings of animals who are moving in different directions, who are really drawing attention to opportunity, if you will. So it was more than a few days ago, but there was a group of elephants who were moving together as a group, as the herd was moving. But they were drawing attention to a specific part of the land. They were drawing attention to where atrocities had been happening. In the United States, the tigers and the lions have been really taking steps forward, bringing awareness. Who can come visit us that will show who's doing harm to the animal kingdom? And so I recall there was a movie coming out about Joe, Tiger Joe, and you know, this guy just was cruel. He was just so cruel with what he did, crossbreeding, what he did to the to lions, to tigers, to creating what is now called a liger. But in the process of all of that, the animals themselves pushed humans to give them a voice, come over here, see what's going on. And each of those animals have agreed to be in that agreement. They're all in that agreement. But I'm losing my train of thought here because we're really going to which side is safe. Is it safer to be in a cage, out of a cage? Is it safer to be on this side of the veil or that side of the veil? And as a human, we process things a lot differently than animals do. They go where they're needed. They go where they can move energy the fastest. And I believe there was a call, it might have been last month, where I was talking about another horse, and he's older, and his caregiver had thought that he would transition 2 years ago, and he's not. You know, he's been what she would say plodding along. But when I ask him specifically, what are you doing? What are you up to? What's on your plate, if you will? His total response was that he was clearing anger and rage, and he turned his body to the east. He pointed to specific places, but he turned his body to the east, and he was shooting out rainbow colors. And it's interesting because the horse that transitioned was actually sharing his habitat, his stall. And after she transitioned, all of a sudden, this beautiful boy started eating more. He's putting weight on. He's looking healthier. So which side is safe? Which side is better? And for her to have release, she had to go to the other side. But the moment she did that, it gave him more energy so that he can do more on this side. So it was a team effort. Now, don't get me wrong, they have different owners. There was not an agreement between those two. What I'm saying is in the animal kingdom, there's such a cohesiveness. And every step that is taken on the behalf of the animals is always for the betterment of the animals, always. And even there was something I was reading the other day about this particular breed. After the female mates with the male, she eats him. Or you'll see mother cubs. Their baby's not healthy, so they kill and eat the young. And we as humans, we're sitting there going, oh my God, I can't believe this mother is, you know, eating her young. But when you look at it from the animal's perspective, that little tiny cub holds the scent of the mother, holds the scent of all the others in the grouping, the pride, the cave. And had they left the baby out, their predators would be able to eat that animal and find their way back to where all the other of the pride, the pack, the whatever grouping was in safety, and it would completely wipe out the entire line. So while a human may be saying, oh my gosh, isn't that sad that the mother eats its young, the mother is saying, I'm eating this young to make sure that that coyote or that mountain lion or that whatever cannot find their way back to my safe zone where I'm protecting my young. So take a breath. Which side is safe? The inside of the cave, the outside of the cave? Inside the cage, outside the cage? Many of you know that I have a rescued African Grey, and when I met her, she was 28 at the time, but when I met her, she had not been out of her cage in 4.5 years. And it took a while for her to trust me, and I would say that I might have flipped too much to the other side because I gave her all kinds of opportunities to be out of her cage. Whether she took it or not, she had a lot of latitude. She runs around on the floor. She has a lot of latitude. Yet something that I've also discovered is that there are times that she needs to be inside her cage. That's her safe zone. That's her comfort zone. There's times I need her inside her cage because I need a break. Which side is safe? And if we're playing or we're doing a training session, then our safe zone is outside of the cage. Yet at the same time, there are moments when she feels safest. She knows her environment. She can control what happens inside the cage. One might also look at a dog or a cat, a horse, having a horse on halter, halter with a lead, having a dog with a collar and a lead versus a halter and a lead. I have cats, they have little harnesses that they wear with a lead. Which is safe? Which side is safe? So where the intention, I want to get us back to what the animals had really asked for on this call. We all have this concept, and animals are no different. It's got to be better over there, right? It's greener over there. There's the fence line. I know if I climb that fence line, there's going to be treats on the other side. There's going to be more freedom on the other side. There's going to be so many more exciting things on the other side. But that other side, just like the cage, is not always the safest. It's also not always the most appropriate. So we can look at this from two ways, where we can set the energy for the animal that says, this side here, I'm going to show you some boundary lines. Here is where safe. And that's really where we would like to take this journey today, is giving you some tools, showing you some things you can do that shows your animal or animals, here's the boundary of our backyard, our front yard, or side yard, but here's where it's okay to play. Here's the rules, here's the boundaries, and we're going to set that up with colors, but that's our intention. On this side is safe, but should you get on the other side, how do we get you safely back to this side right here? And I'm going to show you with like somebody with a backyard, an enclosed backyard. But let's say you have property, you have a big land, and you have property where you don't see the fence line, you can still energetically set boundaries. So on the flip side of that, there's an opportunity here to say, I don't want you in my yard. And I'm going to bring up a situation that happens with a friend of mine. She lives on bordering a new development site, and they're digging in the soil, and it's very hot and sunny there, and they disturb snake nests. Well, in the process of snake nests, you have a little baby, you got the moms who are protecting their young as well, but rattlers have been getting into, basements? Rattlers have been getting inside the fence yard, and them having dogs, it's like, oh my gosh, now what do? I don't want to hurt the snake, but I also want to protect my dog, my cat, my bird, my iguana. What can I do that tells the snake or the squirrel or the ground dog, you are safest on that side of the fence, and you don't get to come on this side of the fence where it's safe for my animals? This that I would like to show you, teach you, is also very appropriate for those of you who live up in, say, mountain territories. I'm in Colorado, so I'm thinking those who, if you were down in Colorado Springs and you lived up woodland, Highway 24, where it's all mountains, or if you're more Denver area and you live up in Estes, so higher where there are mountain lions, where there are coyotes, where there are predators that are, they see a little dog and, you know, that little dog is prey. Or here I'm in Fort Collins, we have osprey and we have hawk. And, you know, they got young right now, and if mom and dad are trying to teach their young how to hunt, they see a cat walking across the grass, perfect opportunity for that mom or dad to teach their young how to hunt. And all of a sudden, whoever is out letting their cat or small dog walk out, they're part of the food chain now. So take another breath. Our goal today, our intention today, is to give you tools that you can use in either situation. So let's start first with allowing your area to be safe on the inside. If you haven't already done so, would you get a piece of paper, something to take notes with so you can jot along? Yes, we're recording, but it's also nice to have some little reminders as you go. So one of the things that's wonderful, we've talked before about asking the animal what's their safe color. That's different than where we want to go today. An animal's personal safe color, they wear on their body. It's where they personally feel safe. And we have used that personal animal safe color to paint, say, the walls of the room you're in, the ceiling, the floor. If you're going to the vet, you paint it inside their carry case. And when you get into the vet, you immediately, you know, visualize painting the inside of the vet's office with their safe color. So that's one way of a safe color. Today, I would like you personally to choose a color that says, here I am as the human. I'm choosing this color, and we're going to use it with roses. I'm going to declare, and for purposes of our example, I'm going to say yellow is safe. So yellow is a safe color. When you see the color yellow, and again, you're going to choose your own color, but little animal, little cat, dog, when you see this yellow, it means you get to be on this side of the yellow. The other thing I would like you to choose is what is your not safe color, your no color. And it may be red, but a lot of people like to use rust as well. Some people like to use orange. But those are the two things I want you to choose. And this is not you asking the animal what is their yes and no color. This is you as the commander in chief, if you want to work it that way, but you're the human in charge right now. What is the color you are saying this is the yes, you get to be on this side, and what is the color that you're going to say is the no color? So have those, write them down. Now, if you are at your home and you have the ability to go outside and do this activity outside, then great. This would be amazing. If you don't have that opportunity right now, then I'm simply going to ask you to visualize your backyard, your front yard, your side yard, so that you can see where the fence line is. And what we're going to do is we're going to create a wall of roses. And I mean a literal wall of roses, to where instead of just planting one rose, you may have 1,000 roses planted there. But they're going to be a little bit about 2 feet taller than the fence line itself. And what we want to do is create the very first rose. And again, in my example, my safe color for my animals is yellow. And so I'm going to create the first row. So would you imagine creating the very first rows of your color, your yes color, your safe color. And now would you plant it in the ground? Just pop it there. It knows what to do. And now would you duplicate that rose? So as if you're looking at a fence line, would you have that rose duplicate itself and go all the way to the fence line down to the left and all the way to the fence line down the right? And remember, we want the rose to be about 2 feet taller than the fence line itself. And all how we do that, we just tell the rose to grow a little taller. So that no matter how the animal sees that wall, they know this side is safe. Safe, 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 safe right here. Safe. Now, do you need to do that on the left side of your house as well? Do you have a left side? Do you have a right side? Do you have a front area, a front portion that you need to create a wall of roses? So would you take some time now, because everybody's yard is a little different, would you create a wall if you need to, that as you're sitting in your front yard, you're creating that wall of safety on the left side? Again, having your roses be taller than the fence line itself. And for some of you, you may have to do it taller than the person's house next to you. In a place I lived in Montana, you could actually crawl from one window to the other window. The housing was so close, a person could literally crawl from one window to the other. So make your roses as tall as you need them to be. And then let's do the same thing on the right-hand side. And then let's make a row of a wall of roses in the backyard. And again, when you're in your backyard or your front yard, you might have to do the left side, back side, right side. Does that make sense? We're making a little box. Okay, so all that we've done now is on the outskirts, the boundary line, if the animal's looking at that wall of color, they know I'm safe up to this point. I can play all I want to in this backyard, but when I hit that yellow, that means turn around and come back, turn around and come back. I'm safe up to this point. I'm safe up to this point. The other thing I'd like you to do is we're going to create pathways from any point that you're used to seeing one of your animals in the backyard, front yard, their path to your entry point. And again, we may have to do this in the front and the back, but what I'd like you to do is to make like a pathway of the rose-colored petals, and let's say you have a cat that likes the particular corner of the backyard, and they like to hop, 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 hop over, but they like to come in this one particular door, and from that door they like to go in the kitchen and get a drink of water. We want that path from that fence line, safe path, that's going to take them right into the portal they're supposed to go in and up to a place where they can reach a reward, either a food treat or a water treat or a pet from their owner, but a safe passage from the out to the in. Almost like you're, if you have a coloring book and you're coloring the path, right? So we're taking, mine, in my case, would be yellow roses, and I'm putting all kinds of rose petals down on my safe path that says, oh, you somehow got out of the yellow. I'm showing you, here's your safe path back to the door into the house. Okay, let's stop that process right now. This is going to make more sense to you when we go to the other side of your fence. So let's imagine we're out walking and we're on the opposite side. This is a not safe side over here. So in my situation, I'm going to use a brilliant orange-red color that says, do not pass this line, do not. And it's not in the yellow side, it's on the red-yellow, the red-orange side. So I'm on the other side of the fence. I'm now going to start planting roses that are that no color, you may not cross over this. And I'm going to do the same process as, however, on the other side, if I'm in the neighbor's yard, so that their animal can't come over to mine, but if my animal gets over, they cannot climb back over the fence. If the prairie dogs can't climb over the fence. In my area, I'm in an open, very open area, backyard, and some neighbors down from me let their cat run wherever it wants to, and it likes to come sit under my bushes. And I have to do this to where there's a boundary line that they cannot come up and touch the window. They can be under the plant, but they can't come up and touch the window because that makes little bear just go into absolute berserker mode. It's like, who's coming into my territory? So we're doing the no color on the other side. And again, do this on the left side, right side, the front yard, the backyard. And hopefully I'm giving you plenty of time. So I think it's appropriate sometimes to go to the top of the fence. Cats are notorious for jumping up on fences. So on the very top of the fence, let's put that no color on the very top of the fence as well. And it's, what, a four inches? Most fences are 4 inches wide, I think, is what they use the lumber. There you go. That's looking much better. So here we have a situation, and this is where I was telling you, we want a safe path home. So let's say you have a kitty, and the kitty got out for whatever reason, the dog got out for whatever reason, and they got to the no side of the fence. We want them to have a safe passage back home. So what I'd like you to do is, where do you know, how can you create a safe passage on their no side that allows your animal to safely cross back into your yard safely? And we don't want them to go back over the fence, so we have to have a running path to where they can walk around the side of the house, come up the front door, and walk either through the doggy door or sit outside the front yard and the front door and meow. It's like, Mom, I did something silly. I'm out here. Can I meow loud enough to where you can come out? And we want to make that path that same color of your safe color. So in my example, my safe is yellow. So I think of Little Bear because he behaves until he doesn't, if you know what I mean by that. He's like, he's good, he's good, he's good, he's good. And then Mom looked away for 5 seconds, and he thought he was smart. And he ran over to, again, we have a very open area. He ran under these really large bushes. Now, if you're a cat, those bushes are really cool because there's all kinds of cool hidey holes to be over there. But if you're the mom, who's got 2 hours to hunt for the cat under those bushes that you can't get into? If you do, you're going to break a leg. But the cat is over there smirking, you know, ha, 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 ha. And you have an errand to go do. So if you have a safe passage that your animal can get on that yellow rose path, the rose petal path, so I know three different places that Little Bear, when he's gotten loose, three places that he has gone to, I have created rose pathways from those places to my front door. Now, I did not take them to the back door. The back door is where he ran out of. I don't want him coming back to the back door. I want him coming to the front door because I want him to know that what he did was inappropriate, right? So he has a different end, and that's just for me. You may only have one point of entry, but this little bugger, he ran away from the backyard. So I would really like him to come to the front yard and, you know, have to sit out there and in on the porch where it's safe. He's protected, but that he then lets me know, yeah, I did something I wasn't supposed to, Mom. And then all the way into, again, in once you open the door, that rose path is going right to a water dish, a litter box, your bedroom, someplace where that animal knows they're safe. There we go. There we go. All right, so let's just review, what have we done? We, as the human, as we have chosen a color that says this is the safe color and this is the absolutely no, you may not cross this line color. And on the inside, where we want the animal to feel safe and play, we want to make sure that all the boundary lines are completely walled with that color. and at least 1 to 2 feet taller than the fence line itself. And then on the opposite side of the fence, we want to put that no color. So, again, I have a lot of territory out here, and we don't have snakes. We may see a garter snake every now and then, but I'm not in a territory of rattlers. But I do have squirrels. And so I've done this with squirrels. We have a couple of, I don't want to call them nuisance birds, but nuisance birds, that they like to root everybody else out. So instead of me having, say, 15 different species of birds, if this one group comes over, I don't get to see any of the others. So I really don't want this species of bird around very much. And so I would distinctly put a color that was for them and vibrate it at their bird no color. But for, let's say we're dealing with the snakes, I would want to paint, remember, on the other side of the fence line, or in particular my friend's basement, I would want all the walkway, any place that that snake might have hidden, anywhere that snake might have gotten into the house, anywhere that it might be hiding in the rocks, I want to slather all of that with the no color. And not to say that the snake isn't going to find another place. They will. It's just they don't get to cross that barrier and come into a place where, for them, it just didn't feel safe. So, which side is safe? Which side is safe? Okay, I'll do that. This is really interesting. So a lot of times, you know, people will take their animal for a walk. And while it's different than this topic of which side is safe, many times people will just, if let's say they're on a dog, let's focus on dogs with leashes, that people go, oh, don't worry about him. He's safe. He won't hurt you. She won't hurt you. You know, she's really a cuddler. Or the dog's off-leash and runs up to another person. That doesn't always feel safe to the human. It doesn't always feel safe to the animal. And so one of the things we always want to do is ask for permission. You know, would you like to be introduced to me? Would you like to be touched by me? Would you enjoy that? So we have to think about as humans, you know, let's say you're in, you walk into a coffee shop, and somebody you totally don't know rushes across the room and just grabs you and gives you this big old hug and smooch, 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 smooch. And you're like, what? Get back off, man. Go back and sit on your side of the store. Go drink your tea or frappy whatever. Just back off. Animals are no different. They don't like to just have somebody take over. They like to be asked. Would you like to sniff me? Is it okay to sniff my hand? Would you like me to bend over and come to your level? Would you like to know? Oh, yeah, so there's a lovely one where the human may or the other dog may have wanted to say hi, but the other recipient dog is like, I want nothing to do with you. And I think it's really appropriate as humans that we teach other people when we're out walking our animal, whatever kind of animal it is always ask, is it okay if I? So, again, let's talk about Kianga. You know, Kianga's got a beak. And I can't tell you how many people just say, oh, can I touch your bird? And it's like, no. Number one, she frightens of anything, and it's a permission thing. And I will ask her, would you like to meet this person? And she'll usually say yes. But, man, there's times she turns her body away and it's like, yeah, that was a no. That's a complete no. But I always find it interesting that people want to hold your bird or touch your bird or, you know, can I pet its head? It's like, yeah, see, beak? Beak hand. Beak hand. Your hand is too fast. And it's just interesting for me. And so it's learning in a lovely way to educate people as we are setting boundaries. So if you have a dog and the dog's on a leash, you can say, hey, we're working on a particular skill set right now, but thanks for asking, and your dog's at heel, and you just don't let the other person near. But if you did, let's say the other person did want to meet your dog and your dog said it was okay, you're letting up the leash. You let the leash be loose so that the dog can choose to go over to the person or choose to go over to the other dog or cat and sniff. And the moment you're watching body language, you're not looking at the human, you're looking at your animal, the moment your animal says no, you thank the other person and says, we're done, that was all we can, you know, we're going to keep walking and do our training session, because we never, ever, 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 ever want to get an animal into a situation they can't get themselves out of. And that's our responsibility. And I watch, and as I'm out walking, it's how many humans, yes, they have a dog, but they're not paying attention to the animal. They're paying attention to the person they just greeted. And it's like, oh, it's so lovely to see you. And their dog's pulling on the leash and, I mean, totally freaking out. And, you know, the human is like, stop it, stop, stop, stop it. It's like, yeah, your dog was trying to tell you already. How many times is your dog trying to tell you, I am over my head and I don't know how to get out? So a complete side topic. I apologize for that. So getting back to which side is safe, which side is safe. So let's take your safe colors and let's just go on a walk. Let's go on a walk. Let's say you and your dog, let's pick on a dog right now. Oh, there's somebody with a horse too. You're with your horse. And typically people lead the horses on the left of the human is where I'm typically watching, and I'm watching a lot of dogs. Typically the dog's on the left of the human. Okay, cool. So let's all follow that where we have the animal on the left-hand side. Let's, on the other side of your animal, let's put a traveling safe rose or a traveling three safe roses. Maybe you're with a horse and your horse actually needs seven safe horses. We want the roses to be as long as the body or even longer than the body. And again, what does it say? I'm safe on this side of my rose. And all the other dogs and horses can be on the other side. How many times have we done this one? Yeah, the other side. But on this side, I have my safe yellow rose. And my animal's used to seeing that safe yellow rose because that means when I'm in the yard, I can be in this territory. I can be in this territory. Ooh, so now let's take your no, don't cross this line rose, and let's practice. Let's say there's a dog running at you or coming forcefully towards you. You can put your hand out and say no, but on the other side of your hand, what you're really doing is you're planting one of those no roses or a wall of no roses. And what is that dog or horse or goat going to see on the other side? They're going to see your no color that says do not cross this line. And all of a sudden that dog halts. Cat halts. The chickens. How many? Roosters. Man, roosters. Got to use the no color with roosters, I swear. Got to use the no with the roosters. Oh, here's another example. Is some other friends of mine have ducks, and they're just learning how to do energy work. So I'm going to have to call them and suggest they do this. They have a couple of, who wears the masks? Raccoons. The raccoons wear the mask. And the raccoons got into the duck habitat, the duck hutch, and killed all of their first round of ducks. So if this was my land, I would be putting that no color, absolutely no, way before we even get to where the ducks are. I would have maybe lines, like here's the first boundary line of no, and then here's a second boundary line of no, just in case the, in this case, raccoon didn't cross the first one, they were in between it. But I would have layers of no, 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 and then making sure that on any down into the dirt, any way that a raccoon in this situation could have gotten into the habitat is the no color. Gosh, I wish we were on a way that you guys could write in and ask questions right now, but I'm not sitting in a place where even if there was a chat, I don't have that set up right now on this call. So if you have questions about this, send an email and I'll attempt to answer them in the classroom. But what I'd like you to do is go play. Let's get off the call. I want you to go play. So at first I want you to go play without your animal with you. So I want you to go on a walk, and I want you to practice having just on your left side, your right side, in front of you and behind you, I want you to have your safe on my side. So you're in this situation, yellow. I'm seeing yellow, but I want to practice. Somebody else is walking. I want to put my hand up, and I'm going to plant a no rose. So go on a little mini walk, planting no roses so that they can't cross that over. And then I want you to go back home, and when it's appropriate, because your animal may not want to go for a walk right now, but when it's appropriate, your second layer of homework is going to be to go for a walk with your animal where you have them inside of their safe rose, and they can see that safe color that matches what's in the backyard, front yard, side yards, and then their no color. And if you want, you can walk them over to the other side and go, see that red, that orange red? That's no, no, no. And you're going to help them anchor that color. Okay, I think I've woven this enough times to where you can see what we're doing here. Yes, color's on my side. It always goes above the fence line or the roof line or the tree line because maybe a cat jumped into a tree and hopped over the fence. They never went on where your roses were. We want that high enough to where they're not even enticed to jump into your yard. And then make sure that those pathways, if we're on the no side, remember the no side, and your animal happens to get over there, show them where here's my safe roses, shows them where the path is that they're not going to get hunted. Maybe it's slinking along the side of the cement line of your home, but show them the path to the entry point you want them to have back into your home to get them on the inside of their roses. And then praise them, praise them, praise them. Validate them when they're on the right side. Okay, let me just see if there's any more questions that I see and anyone is popping their hand up that I can see you energetically. So a question that's coming up is about illness, and we'll see if we can do that in another call. But if you have an illness, so how do I say this in a gentle way? Many times animals are presented with medication where, whether it's an animal or a human, they're presented with a medication that part of the medication would help your animal, but the other part would not. And so you can set up the medicine before it comes in the body vibrationally that the animal's body, your body, will only absorb the part that it can use. And the part that's not in a vibration that's for their health and well-being completely evaporates, or they pee it out, poo it out right away. But that's a different topic. But it's still part of what's safe. You know, what part of this medication is safe? And we do it vibrationally because there's no way, you know, we're not pharmacists. We're not going to split it out on the table and go, ooh, let's dissect this. We're not going to do that. Okay, I think I want to stop here. I think this is really good. We got a lot of good information from the animals today. And they love it, man. I'm watching a boundary line that I put up for this neighbor's cat. And the squirrels cross it all the time. And I'm laughing because I didn't set it for the squirrels. So let's just do that. There are times where I will specifically have a color that's just for the squirrels. I told you I have one that's for this one particular nesting set of day doves that if they get on the floor, they clean everything out. So there's nothing left for like little mice critters. There's nothing for the ducks. There's nothing for the geese. And then I don't get all the finches. And so I just have, there's another place, there's about my neighbor, Kirlas, who comes to visit her little area. So I let the mourning doves go beyond, they can see my place, but they're on the sideline where her kitty can enjoy them. And she doesn't put out any feeders. She doesn't water her plants. She doesn't do anything over there. So the mourning doves are free to visit Jen's place and all the playful guys. So this morning I had a deer out here, and she came right up and started nibbling on some plants, which was totally cool. Okay, I said I'm going to stop. So you have a homework assignment. Your homework assignment is to go for a walk right now, get outside, and practice putting up your rose that says, "We're safe on this side," and then practice. I like to just put my hand out, and I'm literally, as I put my hand out with my palm facing outward, that's my no. I'm planting a no rose, no rose, no rose, and know what your no color is. Remember, it's going to be consistent. Your no color is always going to be the same color. And then come back later and take your animal for a walk and do the same thing. And the thing we've talked about before is we want to practice when it doesn't count, because we want to anchor and anchor and anchor and anchor, so that when we do get into a little bit more chaotic or hyped up mode, that the animal, we both know what to do. We're on the inside of our rows, which is safe, and they're on the other side of the rose, which is a no. All right, go. Go forth and have your fun walk. Send me any questions you have via email, and then sometime later today or tomorrow, I will get this into the classroom for you. Thank you, everyone, for joining the Animal Channel. This is May's edition of 2022. Ooh, and you just got a validation from Kianga. We're done. Up. That was really lovely. Bye, everybody.